to the Michael Rivero What Really Happened radio program.
We're here today. Got lots to talk about. It's Tuesday. And if you're trying to watch the show over the webcam, it is not working today. We've had a little bit of a glitch. One of my many security software packages came up and said, you should be setting this something this way. And I did that, and a bunch of stuff stopped working that I intended to work, including the webcam. So we'll deal with that later on. Not that there's that much to see. It's kind of a wet, drizzly, cold day out here. I know the tourism people are going to be very upset with my saying that, but today is definitely not the Hawaii that you see in those picture postcards. Now, before we get into the news and stuff, kind of a little personal anecdote from over the weekend. I was at the store over the weekend shopping up for the Super Bowl festivities, you know, and getting the ritually required amounts of chemicals and stuff that you're supposed to ingest during the game. And I had somebody come up who recognized me from the Fabled Enemies DVD that Jason Berman directed and Alex Jones produced. And it was a bit of a shock. Now, when I lived in Southern California and I was a professional magician and whatever, getting recognized every once in a while just became part of the background noise. But it's not something I'm used to now by any means. And so it was just kind of a real shock to have it happen. And I think it underscores the fact that Alex Jones is really reaching that audience. He's getting it out there. People are getting the DVDs. They're watching. They're learning. They're obviously studying these things enough to where they're recognizing faces out of them. So I think it's yet another indicator that the alternative medium, the blogosphere, we are having a tremendous impact on the course of world events right now. And I think that definitely is a validation worth keeping. All right, turning real quick to the economy. And before we get into that, again, if you'd like to join us on the air today, the number is 800-259-9231, 800-259-9231. And the Dow ended up 141 points today. They got it back up there. Apparently on the news that GM has officially announced their plan to offer a buyout to the union workers. Now, as you know, going back to this whole bailout thing about the big three automakers in trouble, the automakers are trying to put the blame for all of this on the union contract, the union workers. They're being paid too much. They're getting too much in benefits. And they're going on and on about that whole situation. And so they're coming up with this plan to offer a voucher for a $20,000 car and a cash payment of $20,000 to walk away from your current union contract. And when I put it up there this morning on whatreallyhappened.com, I added a comment to the effect, well, obviously General Motors wants to deal with their economic hardships by getting rid of the union workers and bringing in some non-union workers at much lower pay scales, which means the quality of the cars is probably going to decline a little bit more. That drew a response of all kinds of emails on both sides of the union argument. The unions are shelters for mediocrity. Once they're in the union, they don't feel like excelling. New people coming in are going to be much more interested in doing a good job and so forth and so on. Now, this is not a union versus non-union issue. And I just want to be very clear about something. I tend to be rather hostile to unions. I see them as counter-innovation, as preserving a status quo that very often is out of touch with present-day realities. My own experience dealing with unions in the entertainment industry has been pretty much negative all the way along. Going back to the days when I had gone through what was called the off-roster project and I was supposed to get a card to be in the camera operators union and was refused on a technicality. So I don't like unions, and let's just get that out there. But this isn't really about a union versus non-union issue. Because what this is an issue about the economy of the entire nation, not just of General Motors, but the economy of the entire nation rests on the foundation of the working people because labor precedes capital. It's always been that way. Somebody has to work to make the product that will be sold, that will generate the revenue from which all the little games higher up in the pyramid get played. And our economy is in a terrible, terrible mess because the attitude of the preceding administration, and so far the current one, is to rob from the poor to give to the rich. And what makes an economy function is for the working people to have a decent, adequate wage or salary that allows them to pay for the goods and services that are being offered for sale in the marketplace. The initiating event to the economic downturn was the granting of tax credits by the U.S. government to corporations to move high-paying American jobs overseas. At a time when American workers were already struggling to keep up with the rising mortgage payments from adjustable-rate mortgages, increasing rates on their credit cards, and just the general, the cost of living going up. Gas prices were going up. Food prices are going up because of that whole ethanol debacle. We were getting squeezed on all sides. And then all of a sudden, the government is taking away our jobs and sending them to other countries, to the point where, as we reported yesterday, we have people with advanced college degrees trying to get jobs selling popcorn at amusement parks. That's how desperate it's getting out there. So the issue with General Motors doing this buyout, it isn't whether unions are better or non-unions is better. It is about workers as a whole earning, being allowed to earn enough money to make their mortgage payments, and then the mortgage crisis goes away. Allowing the workers to make enough money to pay their credit card bills, and that makes the credit crisis go away. It is common sense. An economy is like a house. It's got to have a solid foundation. And if you're going to move that house, you've seen this all on History Channel and Science Channel, you pick the house up by the foundation, and you move it, and you set it back down again. If you attempt to pick up a house by grabbing hold of the roof is going to rip off and the whole structure will crumble. That is just common sense. And the same is true for an economy. You can't pick up an economy from the top, which is what they're doing with all these bailouts. They're taking money from the American people, and they're offering to give us a $1,000 tax credit back after taking $17,000 or more from us. They're going to give us $1,000 back. I'll make that deal with my listening audience. Send me $2,000 and I'll send you $1,000 back. That's a better deal than you're going to get from the U.S. government. Right there. Boy, I should run for office. So the problem here is that General Motors is perpetuating the same mistake that put us into this mess in the first place, which is all the money is supposed to be collected at the top for the executive bonuses and the perks and the luxury jets and the hot and cold running women and all the rest of these little touches that the royalty of Wall Street seem to feel that they are owed. And when you strangle the working class further, as GM is trying to do, those are also your customers. Maybe that's why they're giving the coupon for the car, because they realize that once they let these guys go, they're not going to be customers anyway. The only way we're going to get the American economy back on track is for new technologies to create new products and new industries, which will allow working people to earn the money it takes to pay their debts and to buy the products and services in the store. And why our current government is unable to see that, why they are perpetuating with this bailout mythology to take money from the poor and give it to the rich, it's not going to work. It's never worked. Nobody has ever saved an economy by looting the general population to pour the money onto people who are already so rich they don't remember how many homes they own. It has never worked in history before, and they're repeating that same mistake. Now, GM sales have fallen 49%, it's about half of what they were. Auto sales in general are 27-year low. Ford is down 40%. And what that means is all those so-called loans that were really a bailout that were given to the big three automakers, you're now on the hook for those because GM and Ford and Chrysler are not going to be able to pay those back. So it's on your tab now. It's on your tab. We're going to take a break here. Matt is in the control room twiddling the dials and answering the phones. 800-259-9231. 800-259-9231. We will be back after these words from our sponsors.
Oh. Are you tired of searching for great talk radio? Well, search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
You're listening to the Genesis Communications Network. And now, set your eyes on the future and let's consider what really happened.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to our show here. We're talking about the economy, and as of today, California is dead broke. Broke, out of money. Turns out the economic girly men were right all along, and there was a reason to be pessimistic about California's economy. And, of course, it's been just deteriorating, going all the way back to when Enron looted the place, flat out. And then when Governor Gray Davis tried to stand in their way, they put the blame for the whole mess on him, had him recalled, put in Arnold Schwarzenegger, otherwise known as the Governator, who went up there and campaigned and saying, well, you know, if you have any doubts or questions about California's economy, you're just economic girly men. And today, California is dead broke. And it's, you know, when those checks don't show up, when you get an IOU saying, State of California owes you couple of hundred bucks, and the banks may not take those. This is still very much up in the air. It's going to cause a lot of very unhappy people. We may yet see the rioting that is sweeping across Europe right now start here in the U.S. In fact, I'm a little amazed it hasn't already. We're going to cover that a little bit later. One of the issues that is really a problem, and we've got a caller waiting on the line who just happened to call in just when I wanted to talk about this anyway. The states are trying to find ways to raise money. Never mind that you are hurting, okay? The states want to keep the same cash flow going in. They're looking for ways to do it. And some of them are getting pretty underhanded. We're seeing this new campaign for seatbelt law enforcement across the country. And it is couched purely in terms of this is a revenue generator for states that are struggling to keep their budgets balanced. So they're not talking public safety. And don't get me wrong, you should wear your seatbelt. But they're talking about this purely as a revenue raising means. And if a police officer has got you pulled over to the side, writing you a ticket because your seatbelt is not on, that is the police officer who is not out there preventing a rape or robbery or a murder. It is a tremendous misallocation of limited resources, and they're sending the police where they can make money, not where the crimes are taking place, and I think that's obscene. Now, getting back to this caller, we've got James in Ohio. Aloha, James. Welcome to the show, and I understand you want to talk about all these new fees. Basically, as I understand it, correct me if I'm wrong, the governor of Ohio, when he ran for office, promised no new taxes, and he's keeping to his pledge by instead ramping up state fees for various things. Is that correct?
That is absolutely correct. And I want to say, I'm mad as hell, and I'm not going to take it anymore. I mean, this is unbelievable. You know, the one thing that I just sent you this article, so I assume you saw it, but they just raised these things a couple years ago, too, and they're acting like this is something new and different. You know, they doubled our registration fees for our vehicles. And I also want to comment, it's happening in the local community, too. I have zoning enforcement finding me for paint chips on the side of my trim of my windows. I mean, they're looking for dollars everywhere. They're bleeding us dry. They're vampires, and I'm mad.
It's called pillaging. They're pillaging the American people. And they're, yeah, any excuse that they can find, they're going to hit you with some kind of a fine or penalty or fee. And they make up new things that have to have paperwork filed on them, and then you got to pay to file the paperwork. And the fact is that 90% of the paperwork that is filled out in the process of governing this country is never looked at.
Right.
It is put in a file cabinet at taxpayer expense and left there until it rots and is thrown away.
Michael, we have to pay for rainwater here by square footage of our property. How much water goes into the drain? I mean, it's just unbelievable.
Oh, my God. It is. They were starting to put that in Washington State at the time that we left. Yeah, and next it'll be a sunlight rule.
I know,
you watch when Al Gore shoves this global warming hogwash down our throats, they'll start calculating, you know, the albedo of your roof. If it's too dark, it means you're putting more heat into the atmosphere. You'll be billed on that. They'll tax you on that.
Yeah, and, you know, carbon credits for abortions I saw recently somewhere. Somebody proposed that for China. The U.N. doesn't sound, you know, it's feasible.
Oh, my.
It was on Glenn Beck.
It
was a guy, I wish I could find the video, but he's guy's like, yeah, yeah, the UN's actually looking at it, saying it's a good deal. China says, you know, carbon credit.
Do you know how much carbon dioxide we could save if we just boarded up the Capitol building?
Yeah, I mean, you know, you posted another article of mine about how they're borrowing money in Ohio for unemployment. So we're next on that,
yes.
like California. You know, our state is broke. And it, you know what it is? It's all corruption. I mean, everybody's just pilfering every dollar that comes through the state.
Oh, they're looting the Treasury for their own golden parachutes. It's open and it's blatant, and they're expecting that 46 out of the 50 states are going to declare bankruptcy in the next 14, 16 months.
Man, we're in trouble.
And yeah, and it all comes down to reckless borrowing on the part of the federal government. And over the last several years, the federal government has been taking more money from the states and giving less back, which forces the states to borrow to meet their shortfalls. And what this does is very covertly, it's a very sneaky thing, it's transferring what should be federal government debt onto the states to spread it around so that nobody really sees the true scale of the problem. They talk about, a $6 trillion federal debt. Well, really, all government debt at all level is up over 40, 50, probably with all the bailouts, pushing $60 trillion now. That's a huge amount of money. But they don't ever want you to see it in one lump, because then you'd wake up to what's going on. That's why the tax code is so obfuscated and why we have all these little taxes and little fees. Because they ever put it into one lump and said, you got to give us half of everything you earned last year. Most people are going to revolt. I think we're probably going to see that this tax season anyway, for reasons I'm going to get into very shortly.
I know you're probably not wouldn't approve of this, but I'm calling for an armed revolution, honestly. I do not see any other way around this. I mean, were we going to wait until there is martial law and it, you know, or they're dragging us off to the camps for our taxes or whatever? I mean, I see no alternative. Why are we waiting?
Well, I'll tell you, you know, I don't like violence. It's really bad for tourism. But on the other hand, if you're going to call for an armed revolution, I'm not going to stand in your way.
Yeah.
I'll smile and
that.
Take pictures as you walk by. Okay. And
all right, thank you, Michael.
You got it. Have a good day. Yeah, it's getting angry out there. And I'm wondering why we're not seeing more riots and revolts in this country. It's happening all over the world. In Iceland, they brought the government down. The government of Greece is barely hanging on. Millions are protesting and rioting in France. It's got to happen here. The reason it hasn't yet so far, we were talking about this on the Alex Jones show earlier this morning, we know that there are accidentally tranquilizers and mood drugs in our city water supply. And as Alex was saying, look at those commercials every day. Drink 3 glasses of water. And we're finding out that the water is filled with all of this medical runoff. Some of it seems to be coming from places where it shouldn't be there in the first place. But there's got to be a reason why the American people can't seem to find that anger that first built this nation and won 2 world wars. It's got to be out there somewhere. Anyway, getting back to the economy and situation, there are 19 million homes standing vacant in the United States during 2008. 19 million. Why do we have so many homeless people if we have so many empty homes? The image of the United States at this time in our history is a bunch of homeless people camped out in front of a foreclosed mansion. That is the image of the United States at this particular time in our history. So, anyway, there's the magic music, and we're going to take another break here for some commercials. If you'd like to call in, 800-259-9231. We'll be back after these words from our sponsors. America, welcome back to the show. We're still talking about the economy. It's kind of dominating everything right now. And people like to say money is the root of all evil, and no, it really isn't. The lack of money is the root of all evil. Although it does seem that a certain class of people, no matter how much money they've got, it's never really enough and they've got to have more, and they let it drive them. And really, you know, if you've got enough to be comfortable and take care of your loved ones and your families, you know, there are other things in life that you need to be focusing on, and not just piling up a bigger, huger pile to roll around on the middle of the living room floor. We were talking with James in Ohio about state governments finding ways to pillage the people. More fees, more fines, more regulatory compliance. State of Massachusetts. Now, I'm from New England originally. I was born in Boston, spent my childhood on a farm in New Hampshire, and so this is all local stuff for me. But Massachusetts is trying to put through a law or implement a rule where Massachusetts residents who go up to the state of New Hampshire, which does not have a sales tax, will be charged that sales tax anyway on behalf of the state of Massachusetts. And it centers around a tire store chain, which has stores in both New Hampshire and Massachusetts. And the state of Massachusetts is trying to force the stores in New Hampshire to charge Massachusetts residents for the Massachusetts sales tax. And this has tremendous implications, not only for the tire store and for Massachusetts and New Hampshire, but if the legal precedent is set that states can enforce their sales tax in other states, then you're going to see this really slam internet commerce, where when you buy something in another state, you'll be required to pay that state's sales tax. Or if there's no sales tax there, but there is in your own state, you'll pay it anyway, and it's just, you know, got you coming and going and coming and going. Now, speaking of taxes, and this is a sore point for a lot of people, big scandal right now in the White House, where Barack Obama seems unable to find anybody in Washington, D.C., to appoint to his cabinet who doesn't have some kind of a tax problem. They're evading certain taxes. They're avoiding certain taxes. They didn't pay this tax. They're all in a rush to say, oh, I'll catch up and get it done now that it's important for them to get the job and look good for the press. But it's really underscoring this reality that taxes are something that is really only imposed on the working people. And the higher-ups, the royalty, they just sort of do a nudge and a wink and say, oh, yeah, our taxes are taken care of, and nudge, nudge, wink, wink, and nobody's really paying attention to them. And, yes, Daschle has stepped down and withdrawn his nomination, but it really underscores this situation that there is a huge tax compliance among the people in the government who take those taxes from us. It's another case of a double standard. We're all out here we're barely hanging on, people. We're losing our homes, our businesses. Our lives are dissolving in front of our eyes. We're struggling as hard as we can to do what we are told is the right thing. And yet we see in front of us our self-appointed, self-declared rulers and leaders don't play by those rules until they're caught. There's all this corruption going on. Bernie Madoff is still sitting in his multi-million-dollar mansion. Has yet to see the inside of a jail cell after ripping us all off for $50 billion. But he was a good campaign donor. That's why he's out of jail right now. And this story, when it was covered earlier, people are talking about, we're on the edge of a tax revolt here. And I think we're probably going to see one, not so much out of anger by the taxpayers at the government, but simply the fact that this year, most taxpayers just don't have it. They don't have it. Over the last year, especially the self-employed people have not been able to make their estimated tax payments because they're trying to keep their house from being foreclosed. And they're having to make choices. As the revenue drives up, as the clients go away, as short-sighted governments rescind the tax credits that were bringing work to your region, and they say, well, we can't give away that tax money anymore. It's not giving away. It wasn't yours to begin with. And they're making very short-sighted choices, and they're running the economy right off the edge of a cliff. And I think probably a lot of Americans, and our last caller is a good example of one, they just don't see any reason to support the current system any longer because it doesn't work for them. When the government acts as if the people are its enemy, and it does, spying on us, reading our email, breaking into our computers, tagging us, little radio chips, make sure we're doing what we're told, And when the government acts like we're the enemy, then government is the enemy of the people. It really is. And I'm not surprised we're starting to see these admittedly symbolic resolutions coming out of state legislatures trying to reassert the principles of the Declaration of Independence, that the federal government cannot come in and just ignore the Constitution. They are to live within their limits, certainly live within their budget, and not just view the American people as a herd of domesticated non-humans from which to extract labor and soldiers at will. Now, speaking of unconstitutional, there is very obviously a gun grab on right now. And this is in the wake of the U.S. Supreme Court decision, which settled once and for all that the right to bear arms, as set forth in the Second Amendment of the Constitution, is a personal right that applies to individual citizens. It applies to you. It applies to that guy over there. It applies to me. It applies to my wife, who I might add is a crack shot. So the gun grabbers are like, they're up in arms. Their favorite argument was that the right to arms was limited to a militia, as defined by the government. And that definition was conveniently changed to make it the National Guard, which is under federal control. But historians will tell you the reason for the Second Amendment had nothing to do with hunting, had nothing to do with sports shooting. It had everything to do with taking shots at a government that had gone wrong. Remember how the American Revolution started with the battles of Lexington and Concord. The British government came in and tried to remove the military arms held by the people. And it's military arms we're talking about when they talk about the security of a free state. That's not hunting. That's not target shooting. That's not fast draw competitions. That is shooting at somebody who wants to take your freedom away. That's what the Second Amendment is for. And the tyrants have been trying to figure out a way around that. Now, the newest wrinkle, Rahm Emanuel, the White House chief of staff, who in a press conference with the boss, the president, was crackling his knuckles right in Barack Obama's ear to send the signal that he, Rahm Emanuel, runs the White House and not Barack Obama. But Rahm Emanuel is out there saying now that anybody who is unreliable is no longer really an American, part of the American family, and therefore doesn't have a Second Amendment right. See, Rahm Emanuel now wants to create a two-tiered society. There's the American family, and then there's the rest of us. And the rest of us are like, if we're on the no-fly list, which we know is filled with people who shouldn't be there. Hideous amounts of mistake. Million of people on that list shouldn't be there. But under Rahm's direction, he wants to say, okay, if you're on the no-fly list, you cannot buy a gun. You cannot buy a personal defense weapon. You can't have a gun. You're not reliable. Folks, this is the system we're seeing in Israel, where there's colored license plates between the trusted people and the non-trusted people. And boy, you look over there. You see how they treat the non-trusted people. We dare not allow that kind of a system to take root here in the United States. And the first thing they do is they're coming for the guns. Just like Hitler said, you want people to do what you tell them, you take away their guns. That's what they're trying to do. We talk about personal defense, and of course the argument comes back from the gun grabbers. You don't need guns. The police will protect you. Well, maybe not. And when we come back from this next break, I'm going to enlighten you about the reality of police protection. We'll be back after these words from our sponsors.
Can we talk?
Can we talk?
Can we talk about gun control?
Gun control?
Seems like it should work, doesn't it?
It should work.
You'd think so. Yeah.
Pass the right laws.
Pass the right laws.
And you can disarm the criminals.
You disarm them.
That's the idea.
But the problem is...
The problem?
Criminals don't obey the law.
They don't obey the law.
That's true.
After all, they're criminals.
They're criminals.
Criminals. They'll always find a way to get guns.
No matter how many laws you pass.
Which means
they still have guns.
They still have guns. While the rest of us...
The rest of us?
The rest of us are just left defenseless.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
Welcome to What Really Happened Radio. Visit us online at whatreallyhappened.com. And now, set your eyes on the future and let's consider what really happened.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show. Last segment of the show today here. We're talking about the economy. We're talking about police protection. We're talking about the gun grabbing. And it's interesting. I've been listening to our commercial breaks, and the nature of our advertisers is very slowly changing. We're getting, our sponsors like Mr. Defense and the pepper spray company. And it reflects a growing paranoia that as the economy goes south, crime is already going up. Somebody stole the spare tire off my car not too long ago here. And I'm a great believer in personal self-defense. But the gun grabbers, the people who want to take away your guns so that you're helpless in face of the government, they're always saying, well, you don't need guns for personal protection because the police will protect you. Well, wrong. The police don't stop crime. 99.9% of the time, the police get there after the crime is over, and they stand around in their pretty little uniforms, and they look official, and they promise retribution and revenge, which may occur in one out of every 33 cases, according to the most recent statistics. And they'll say, this is us doing our job that you pay taxes for, and don't you feel good? No, because your stuff is still stolen, or worse has happened to you. Now, there was a lawsuit, Warren versus District of Columbia. This is classic. Okay? Two women were upstairs in a townhouse when they heard their roommate, a third woman, being attacked downstairs by intruders. The two women phoned the police multiple times, were assured officers were on the way. After about a half hour, when the roommate stopped screaming, the two women assumed the police had finally arrived. Now, because they're in the District of Columbia, they're prevented from having handguns. There's a gun ban in District of Columbia. So these women are not armed. They are legally prohibited from having self-defense weapons. So the two women go downstairs expecting to find the police, and they find that, in fact, the police have never come. The intruders are still there. The intruders grab these women and just, for the next 14 hours, well, you can fill in your own imagination what went on. It was, pretty gross. And the cops never showed up. They never showed up. So the three women sued the District of Columbia for failing to protect them. And the District of Columbia's highest court ruled that it is a fundamental principle of American law that a government and its agents are under no general duty to provide public services such as police protection to any individual citizen. So there you have it, my friends. For all the money the police departments are taking, their job is to sit out there and write tickets if you're not wearing your seatbelts or if you've got a busted light bulb on your car. They are not legally obligated to intervene if you are the victim of a crime. Now, if you're a scanner enthusiast, like I am, you'll know that a few years ago, the police started going to encrypted scanners. And the reason for that was officially given that the criminals have scanners and we don't want them to know when we're on the way. Well, if you don't want them to know you're on the way, why are you turning on that siren and flashing that lights as you go careening down the street? It turns out that people with scanners were overhearing the police talking about whether they were going to go into the scene of a crime while the crime was in progress, and hearing that the police weren't going to go until they were convinced the perpetrator was already gone and it was safe to do so. That prompted some lawsuits. And then there was another lawsuit where somebody actually recorded the police using racial epithets to describe a victim of a crime as an excuse why they weren't going to bother going in until they were sure that it was safe to do so. So this is the reason for those police encrypted radios at taxpayer expense. It's to make sure that you don't find out what's really going on there. So the bottom line is when those gun grabbers are saying, you don't need a gun, the police will protect you, no, they won't. The statistics are against it. They aren't going to show up until after the crime is over. Sometimes they don't show up at all, as was the case in this situation in the District of Columbia, and in a situation where I had to chase a robber out of my home at the point of a gun. The police never showed up even to take a report. If they don't feel it's necessary, they won't. And the police don't want to take a report where somebody has used a legally owned firearm to eject a criminal, because that's a bad statistic we can't let get out there. So when the gun grabbers start saying you need to surrender your guns, the police will take care of you, it's nonsense. It's another lie. It's as big a whopper as the claim that Saddam had nuclear bombs. It's as big a whopper as the claim that Ahmadinejad is building nuclear weapons underneath his power station. The government lies to you, people. If there is one lesson you will take away from this show and from my website and from this particular period in history, it is that the government lies to you. And there's nothing new with that. Governments always lie to their people. It's a given. If you ever get a chance to visit ancient Egypt, I recommend it highly. Go look at some of the temples down at Luxor and Karnak and Abydos, and you will see these wonderful wall carvings of the pharaoh, Ramses II, called Ramses the Great by his own admission, defeating the Hittites at Kadesh. Ramses II did not, in fact, defeat the Hittites at Kadesh. He almost lost his army. But he went back home and carved it on all the walls because he knew that his subjects couldn't actually make the trip up to Kadesh to find out what happened for themselves. So, there, carved in stone, thousands of years old, is the proof. Leaders lie to their people. Happens all the time. Happening now. And what you need to become is skeptical. The burden of proof is on the government. The burden of proof likes to say, oh, those darn conspiracy theorists, if they think X, Y, and Z, it's up to them to prove it. No, we don't have to do that anymore. Not after you lied to us about Saddam's nuclear bombs. You got to prove that what you're saying to us is the truth. You're supposed to do that anyway. You work for us. Go back and read that Constitution. We, the people, own this nation. The government are custodians. Just in those ugly green overalls with a big ring of keys on their hip, and we hire them to go around and make sure the doors are unlocked or locked at certain times of the day, and to take out the trash, make sure the roads are repaired. That's the function of government. We've hit a crisis where civil servant has become civil master, and we do have to reverse that, because as you can see right now, the looting of the nation is going on. They're taking money from the poor to give to the rich. That's not a solution. It's a wild party. And they're not going to stop until somebody may stop. They've got no reason to stop. Why should they stop? They've got this big vacuum hose stuck in your wallet. And they've got it turned on to full tilt boogie rock and roll, just sucking the money out of your wallet. And they're hitting the bottom. There's no more money coming out. And they say, what's wrong with you? You don't have any more money for us to take. We got that over the weekend when they were complaining the real reason the economy is in trouble is those darned Americans, they're refusing to spend more money. We don't have it. We don't have it. You guys piled it all up in this really big pile so you could stand next to it and prove how butch you are. And there's nothing left out here to work with. And that's the reason the economy is grinding to a halt. Money is like, let me use a polite word here, fertilizer at a farm. If it's spread around more or less evenly over the whole field, then the whole farm prospers. If you take that fertilizer and you pile it up in one big pile in one corner, it may make a very impressive looking pile, but it's just going to sit there and stink, and the farm itself is going to suffer for it and be far less productive. And that's the situation we're in right now. We've got a big pile of fertilizer over Washington, D.C. Did you know Washington, D.C. was built on top of a malarial swamp? Kind of appropriate if you think about that right now. Anyway, so I think our government is very much aware that it's not going to take too much more for the American people to start protesting and rioting the way has been going on in Iceland and Greece and Spain and France and Ireland and all these other places. They're preparing for it. They know it's going to be a very ugly situation, and they're preparing for it because they know they can't back off doing what they're doing, because the people to whom they owe favors don't want to give up that flow of money coming in. They see it as their divine right to parasitize upon the rest of us. They've worked their entire lives to set up a system that takes real wealth away from the people and gives it to the elites, and they're not about to walk away from that. Be like the revolution in France. They would rather sacrifice their head than give up their wealth. All right, we're going to stop here. We'll be back tomorrow. Tomorrow's hump day, and we'll be back with more news. more of your phone calls, more observations about the economy. We're going to get back into Gaza. There's some new things happening over there. Until then, aloha, America.